the game over? Indianapolis won. Oh, wow. Watch out. You're in among the Charger fans in this room, probably. You better watch your back. Oh, man, it's good to be with you guys tonight. Just want to mention a couple of things. Miles asked me to encourage you guys to continue to take your gifts inventory test. How many of you have taken your gifts inventory test? Raise your hand. Good, good. How many of you have not? And the rest of you are lying because you just don't want to raise your hand. I want to encourage you to keep taking that test. Get that gifts test finished, and it'll show you some things about yourself that I think you probably haven't discovered before, and I really encourage you to do that. Also, just want to let you know that there's something taking place on Monday nights now that's just for men called Brothers. Say Brothers.
Brothers.
It's not Brothers. It's Brothers. Say Brothers.
Brothers.
And it's just for men. There's a series that's taking place right now called The Untouchables. I want to encourage every man in this place to come on Monday nights and be a part of this as we as men grow together, trying to become untouchable for God. All the men in the house say, yeah.
Yeah.
See, oh, I like that. All the men in the house say, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the army right there. The brothers in the house. And we got to step up and do our part in God's kingdom. Amen. Right, ladies?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some guy just got one of these right there real quick. Oh, man. I have an exciting message for you tonight. You see, sometimes there's a story and a teaching. But tonight I have a message for you. It's a specific communication about your life. And we're going to talk about dreams and destiny tonight. And I know that all of us at some point of our life, we've all experienced dreams. Sometimes we have good dreams. Sometimes we have bad dreams. Sometimes we have crazy dreams. Some have dreams, you know, like my wife, you wake up in the middle of the night and tell me where to move furniture. Literally, like sit up right in the bed. I said, put it over there. Move it over here. And I wake up, huh? And she wakes up and realizes she said it. And she laughs and just lays back down on the pillow. Like, just ignore me. I'm crazy. We've all had dreams. We have dreams, all kinds of hopes and desires. And as long as I can remember, one of the dreams that I have had in my life was to do what I'm doing with you tonight, was to teach, to preach, to speak, to communicate in business and motivation in schools and churches, whatever it is. And my first public speaking experience happened when I was 5 years old. Some of you are like, huh? Oh, yeah, let me tell you about it. My parents have been pastors for about 40 years. And this was at a time in their lives they were pastoring a little church in a town called Fern Creek, Kentucky. Anybody ever heard of Fern Creek, Kentucky? That's pretty much what I thought. Yeah. It's near another city called Louisville, Kentucky, or Louisville. But see, you can't say Louisville. You got to say Louisville. Because if you say Louisville in Louisville, bad things happen to you. The country people are real cool, laid back, and they're sweet, but when they get fired up, well, you know, they're rednecks, so you just got to watch your back. You know what I'm saying? But we're in this little church, and all this, you know, this was happening, and Dad's preaching, and I'm sitting on the front row on the pew next to my mom, and sitting there, and I don't know, something shot up in me. Maybe it was the Holy Spirit or something. I don't know. I stood up, and I raised my hand, and I said, Dad, I got to go poop out loud in front of everybody. He's preaching. It was a moving experience for everybody. Some of you will get that on the way home. But somebody went, oh, okay, you just got it. Okay. But, you know, I'd like to be able to tell you that Dad just, you know, went real smooth and followed through with it and, you know, finished up his sermon, but pretty much he just closed his Bible and said, let's pray. Why am I going to follow that up? You know, call it a day. And over my lifetime, you know, I preached my actual first sermon when I was 11, literally. It lasted about a minute and 30 seconds. I thought I was ready, good to go. And, you know, and then I preached again my first time when I was 15, and that got a little better. It was about 14 minutes long. But as far as I can remember, that's what I was gifted and created to do. I have a big mouth. and I choose to use it for God because that's why he created me. So that's why I do what I do with you guys when I'm here. And I actually took my first pastoral position right before my 19th birthday after my second year of Bible college. And I've been preaching ever since. far as I can remember. That's what I do. And I can tell you, along this journey, I've had dreams and aspirations for a lot of different things. And some of these dreams the Lord's blessed me with, I've had the opportunity to speak in front of thousands, and I've had the opportunity to speak in front of five or four in a small group. It doesn't matter. But I will tell you that some of those dreams, as I went along in that journey, became nightmares. They weren't so dreamy. There were experiences that I went through and things that I believe that were dreams that God birthed within me that were a part of my destiny, and I went after them. As I went after them, there were people and circumstances and situations that the devil put in my life to kill my dreams. And I want you to know that tonight, there may be some things, some dreams, some experiences, some things that God's dropped down in your heart. Over the last several weeks, Miles has been taking us through a series called Eternal Trust, and he's been challenging us about our gifts and our abilities and what we can do for the kingdom and how God can use us and how he can use us here at the Rock Church and how we can just do incredible things for him based on our obedience in using what we are created for. And some of you, you've been inspired. You've taken a gift test. You're like, yeah, I didn't know I could do that. There's a place for me. I can do that. I can be a part of that. And I wanted to tell you tonight that the devil, he wants to kill those dreams. And some of you here tonight, I'll go as far as to say that even over the last several weeks, as you've begun to take steps and maybe sign up at the ministry fair or get involved, that there's been a voice in the back of your head that said, you ain't going to commit to that. You won't follow through. You're not going to make it. Excuse me. You're not going to fulfill that. Because the devil is very, very, very okay with you just sitting back in the church and coming in on a Sunday morning and get your little kumbaya, warm, fuzzy experience, get your spiritual buzz from Pastor Miles. You know, not that his message would bring just a buzz, because to be honest with you, he gets right up in your face with what he teaches. And the devil's okay with that. Because if you go and you experience that, he's not worried about you. Because you're not being effective for the kingdom. You're just kind of taking a part and just, you know, coming in and checking your brain at the door. And he's cool with that. Because you're not messing up his plan. But I'll tell you this. You make a decision to go after your destiny. Oh, you better watch your back. Because he's going to come after you. He's going to come after your mind, your heart, your people around you. He's going to come after you. He's going to try to kill your dreams. So tonight we're going to talk about how do you go from just dreaming about destiny into moving into your destiny, dreaming for destiny. We're going to get some practical tools from Scripture that we can apply and how we get there. And I'll guarantee you this, you might see infomercials on TV and a lot of people will guarantee you a lot of things. When you see them or you sign up for them, and very seldom does the guarantee really stick. But I'll tell you tonight, if you will apply these principles and these tools and make note of these things that we're going to discuss tonight, I guarantee you, you will work towards fulfilling your destiny in Christ. If you want that, say yeah.
Yeah.
If you're ready to go, say let's go.
Let's go.
Let's look at Genesis chapter 37. Now we're going to be looking at a lot of scripture tonight. Before we get into the heart of the message, and we're going to be jumping through and over some verses. So you just got to stick with me and follow along. And I know that as we get through it, it's going to lay a foundation for where we're going. Okay. So you got to trust me with that. Look at somebody next to you and say, get ready. Look the other side and say, get ready. Chapter 37, verse 5. Some of you are like, uh-oh. Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brothers said to him, do you intend to rule and reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream and he told his brothers, listen, I had another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and even the stars were bowing down to me. Well, when he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream that you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to you, to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Verse 19. Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns. and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. Let's not take his life, he said. Don't shed any blood. Throw him into the cistern here in the desert, but don't lay a hand on him. Reuben said this to rescue him from them and to take him back to his father. Verse 23. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the richly ornamented robe that he was wearing, and they took him and they threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty and there was no water in it. Go to verse 28. So when the Midianite servants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites who took him to Egypt. Verse 36 of chapter 37. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph into Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. Now jump to chapter 39, verse 2. Are you noticing that as soon as Joseph started talking about his dream, stuff started really going bad? You know, you think at the moment he might have been saying, why did I ever tell these fools about this dream? Verse 2 of chapter 39. Now the Lord was with Joseph and he prospered and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household and he entrusted to his care everything that he owned. Jump down to the middle part of verse 6. Now Joseph was well being handsome. Ladies say, hey. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. But he refused her. And then one day he went into the house to attend to his duties and none of the servants were inside. That kind of would have tipped me off if I was Joe, but you know, hey. So she caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left her cloak in his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. Verse 16. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. And then she told him this story. That Hebrew slave that you brought us came to me and tried to make sport of me. He pushed up on me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak and ran out of the house. That's just straight scandalous, y'all. That's wrong. It ain't right. This hoochie was no good for him. Verse 19. When his master heard the story of his wife, it's being told to him, saying, this is how your slave treated me. He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. Joseph's dreams aren't really going too well, are they? Now, while he's in there, there's people talking about these dreams that the leaders and rulers are having and even guards are having, and they don't understand the dreams, and they're speaking, and they say, we both have had dreams, they answered, but there is no one to interpret them. Joseph leans up into the bar cell and says, fellas, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. I kind of got this thing with dreams. Well, maybe I shouldn't tell you anything because this is where it got me so far, but I think I can help y'all. And for all of chapter 40 and 41, Joseph began interpreting dreams and God started to give him favor and move him closer to his destiny. And in chapter 42, verse 6, if we jump ahead, we can see the outcome of this little portion of the story. Now, Joseph was the governor of the land, the one who sold the grain to all its people. Joseph had some juice. He had some pull. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down. Say, bow down. Say, bow down. They bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. You see, Joseph went on a pretty crazy roller coaster ride. And we're going to look at some things about Joseph's life that we can learn from. And we can say, how do I succeed in dreaming for destiny? How do I move into that place? How do I go there? How do I do that? Because I'll tell you, Joseph, he did some things wrong and he did some things right. And we're going to learn about some things that he did and choices that he made that directly can relate to us. So if you're ready, let's get into it. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. The first thing that you need to know in succeeding in dreaming for destiny is that, number one, you have to watch out for dream assassins. You got to watch out for dream assassins. Now, remember the beginning of the story, Joseph, they said Joseph was thrown into a cistern. And a cistern, you know, is nothing more than a pit. And I'll kind of describe it to you. In this era, in this day and time, and even in the Middle East today, they still use these for a source of water. And a cistern could vary in like 8 feet in diameter up to like 20 feet in diameter. And anywhere from 40 to 50 foot deep to 150 to 200 foot deep, however deep they had to go to get to the water. And they threw him in this pit. And in this pit, can you imagine what Joseph felt like? Here he's going, I told about these dreams. I'm trying to step out in faith. God gave me these dreams. I'm excited about these dreams. And the next thing you know, he's thrown down in this pit. You know, it's like taking a lawn chair out to El Centro in August and just lay up in the desert for a couple hours. Multiply that times several days. You know, it ain't no nest tea going on out there. Hot, dry, lonely, all that. And you can imagine the thoughts and things that were going on in Joseph's head. And he's probably thinking, man, never should have told those jokers about my dream. God, why'd you give me this dream? I don't even know what I'm saying. I just started talking. There are dream assassins that are out there that the devil places out there to try and take your dreams out. I want to give you three assassins that you got to watch out for in pursuing your dreams and your destiny. The first assassin you got to watch out for is people in the pit. Haters. Haters, haters. These are people that, you know, they don't want nothing good to happen to you. You tell them your dreams, they're like, man, are you crazy? What makes you think you can do that? You ain't got no money, you ain't got no job. You know, you failed at this, you failed at that. You did. And how do you think you're going to do that? Haters. Haters. Listen to me very carefully. When it comes to the dreams that God bursts within your heart, you got to be very careful who you share your dreams with. You got to be very careful who you share your dreams with, because if you share your dreams prematurely, it could kill it. Because it's all about timing. You see, you got puzzle piece number 4, and you're waiting for puzzle piece 1, 2, 3, and 5. And if you don't see 1, 2, 3, and 5 on the board yet, then you know you can't place your puzzle piece in there yet. But as you start to see them align and come together, you're like, oh, there's 3. Oh, there's 2. I knew there were some things that had to come together for this dream to come to pass. And all of a sudden, now I got number 4. And then you jump in. Bam. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's a complete picture. But if you jump in there prematurely, you could kill it. And if you talk prematurely, you could kill it. You got to be very careful who you share your dreams with when God gives you a dream, because there's just haters out there. When Joseph shared this with his brothers, they got ticked off. Rule over us. Are you crazy, fool? We're going to throw you in a pit. You ain't going to rule over nothing but some dirt. People. The second assassin of your dreams that you got to watch out for is places. Places in the pit. Now, I don't necessarily mean a physical location, you know, or something like that. I mean more of a state of mind. You see, a state of mind can take you to a place that's very rough. A state of mind, a place like loneliness, hopelessness, insecurity. You see, you can be around a room full of people and be the loneliest person in that room. It's got nothing to do with who's around you. It's got to do with what's going on in your world. And I'll tell you, you can guarantee that Joseph, when he was in that pit, not only was he physically alone, but emotionally, I bet he was going, my family dogged me out. My father doesn't even know where I'm at. Is anybody going to come get me? And God, all this happened. I talked about these dreams and I ended up here. You know, he got sold into slavery after that. And he's going, Lord, for real. I got sold into slavery, not once, but twice. And now I'm in jail. And it all started with this dream. I haven't seen anybody bowing to me yet. What's up? But he never gave up on his dreams. Never once do we hear about Joseph saying, these dreams must not gonna be coming true. You never hear that in the story. He just keeps on plugging along. You gotta watch places in the pit. You get to mental places that can take you out. The devil loved to discourage you. He loved to bring you down. You got to watch out. They'll assassinate your dreams. The third assassin that you have to watch out for are passions in the pit or emotions in the pit. Things like fear, failure, inadequacy, bitterness. See, I'm sure that Joseph had all kinds of emotions going on when he was stuck in the pit. I'm sure he got angry. I'm sure he got scared. He might have cried. You know, we're emotional people. That's how we're made. You know, when we like stuff, we clap. And when something's funny, we laugh out loud. And when things make us happy, we smile. And when it makes us sad, we cry. We get, Everything goes upside down. We're emotional people. And you got to watch the emotions that go on when you're in the pit. I don't know about you. I may be the only person in here, but I've been in the pit a few times in my life. I've been through some experiences that I was in the pit. Is anybody with me? Hello. And when we get in those situations, when we go through that type of a journey, it's difficult. And there are dream assassins, people, places, passions, emotions that can really mess with you when you're in the pit. You got to be careful. But here's the good part. People can take your money. They can take your time. They can take your relationships. They can take this. They can take that. But they can't take your dreams. When God gives you dreams, it's all yours. Nobody can take your dreams. When God gives you a dream that goes directly towards your destiny, no one can take that from you. When you're in the pit, remember, nobody can take my dreams. Those are mine. God gave those to me. The second thing that we have to watch out for are dream attractions. Say attractions. Say attractions. Or you can write next to that, distractions. I want to share a statement with you tonight, and I encourage you, if you want to write it down, that would be good. But initially, I'd rather you just look right in my face and listen to this statement and take it in, because I think this will really, really give you some foundation that you can move forward on. It's very simply this. In times of favor, there will be opportunity for failure. In times of favor, there will be opportunity for favor. Let me come over here and give this to y'all. In times of favor, there will be opportunity for failure. I say opportunity because everything could be going great. You could be living that high life. Everything's good. God's just pouring out his spirit. He's giving you favor. You're doing great in your job. You're doing great in this. You're doing great in that. And then there will come one decision that you have to make. And the outcome of that decision will determine success or failure. And that season of favor can be shut down just like that. And it's important for us to know that there are attractions and distractions that the enemy, the devil, wants to bring our way to cause us to make the wrong decision at that moment of choice. To distract us, to attract us away from what God's trying to do. Remember how I was telling you? The devil, he don't care as long as you're just doing your thing, kumbaya, warm fuzzy. As soon as you start to step in your destiny, oh, he's coming after you. He's going to try to pull that away. Let's look at chapter 39. Again, verse number 6. And let's look at Joseph's life again in this situation that he had. Verse 6. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he didn't concern himself with anything except the food that he ate. Now Joseph was well-built and handsome. Ladies say, hey. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. But he refused. Verse 11. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties and none of the servants were home. Uh-oh. And she caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and he ran out of the house. Now, me personally, I think it was 2007. I kind of think that situation went something like this. To keep you. Oh, Romeo. Woman, you got to back up. I mean, I don't know. You gotta back up. I'll back it up for you, Joe. Listen, woman, the boss is not here. You can't be playing around like that. And, you know, this is not the time. I mean, you're looking kind of good, to be honest with you, but, you know, no. I'm supposed to be taking care of this place. You know, this isn't for me. Come on, Joe. Come on. I can't get enough of your love, baby, Joe. Come on, Joe. No, listen, woman. He trusted me to this. He trusted to take care of his kingdom and all this other stuff. And, woo, you look good. But let me tell you something. I got to do what God tells me, so you're going to have to speak to the elbow because the hand's tired, and I got to bounce. Bam! Can you believe you just heard Barry White in church? Come on. You never know what you're going to get when you come over here. But look, Joseph had a choice to make. It would have been real easy for him to give into that situation and make the wrong choice. And it, you know, it probably would have given him some fast tracks to some favor, and, you know, he might have got backdoor treatment, and he might have got a little bit of the riches from the kingdom, and she would have been, you know, sneaking him gifts here and there and all this and that. And he, you know, it was probably pretty appealing, but the reality is Joseph was like, no, I have a dream that God gave me. And you're not a part of it. And you weren't in that. So I know that I'm not supposed to be here. And he bounced. Had he waited and hesitated and, you know, took a few extra minutes, things might have been different. But he had to make a choice. He had an opportunity to choose favor or failure. And we're going to learn a couple of things from this about attractions. Dream attractions are very similar to the first set of assassins, but they differ slightly. The first attraction are people. Say people. People. These are people that are there to steal. You see, I really believe that the devil will send people across your path that are there to jack you and rob you of your destiny. He will send an old relationship back onto your cell phone. Text message from that dog. He dogged you out, girl. And all of a sudden, or whatever your phone does. Hey, baby, can't get enough of your love, baby. And you're like, oh, no, I know that's the devil. Uh-uh. Or, fellas, you know, that little hoochie, holy hoochie that you saw. You know, you knew she was in church, but she wasn't about church. But you justified it because she was in church. Come on, somebody. I'm coming to where you're at tonight. And all of a sudden, you have a choice to make. People. People. They're there to steal, delay, mess it up. Maybe you're like Joseph and you had a parent that said, what are you doing chasing that dream? Are you kidding me? You'll never do that. You'll never be that. You're not going to waste your time on that dream. What you're going to do is you're going to go to high school. You're going to go to college. You're going to do this. You know, our family's been going to Harvard for 15, 20 years. And that's where you're going. And you're going to have a boring life just like me. And you're going, no, God called me to go to Africa. God called me to be a puppet master at Children's Church, Pebbles Pathway. God told me to get over there and get sloppy with the junior hires. That's what God told me to do. And people, they steal it. Second distraction are places. These are places that seem surreal. Places that seem surreal. Surreal is defined as having an oddly dreamlike quality. You know, you think some of these situations that Joseph went through were surreal? I mean, here, all he did was talk about a dream that God gave him, and he gets beat up, thrown in a pit, sold into slavery, sold into another place of slavery. Then he starts to come up a little bit, and this hoochie in the palace jacks him up, lies about him, tells him that he was doing this and he was doing that. And next thing you know, he's back in jail. Have you ever gone through a season in your life when you just said to yourself, how did I get here? I thought I was choosing right. I mean, I took the right job, and I know I was hanging around with the right people, and I cut that relationship off, but how did things get so bad all of a sudden? How did I get here? It's surreal. There are experiences and situations and circumstances that will happen that will pull you away. And there'll be a distraction to your dreams. You got to stay focused. There are times in your life where you experience things that will be very difficult. But you got to keep going. Because the third distraction is one of the most difficult to deal with. The third distraction is passions. Things that appeal. Things that appeal. Say appeal. Appeal. This is like stuff that we like. Our weakness. You see, the reality is shortcuts are tempting, but you got to resist them. Sometimes quitting is appealing. Hello? Sometimes just going, man, forget it. This is too much work. It's easy to want to do that, but you can't. Joseph, he could have took the shortcut. He could have hooked up with Potiphar's wife, and then all of the destiny would have got derailed, and he would have taken him probably a whole nother decade longer to get there. You see, you gotta resist these distractions. So when it comes to dream assassins and attractions, you need to understand, how do I win? Say, how do I win? I'm going to tell you. The simple principle, it says, don't focus so much on the assassin or the attraction, but pay attention to your reaction. Don't pay so much attention to the assassin or the attraction, but focus on your reaction. Listen to this. It's not about the little holy hottie that God put up in your face, gentlemen, and the temptress that might have come into your life. It's not about that. The devil doesn't care really about her and you. He cares about what you're going to do with that situation. He cares about your reaction. It doesn't matter what bills that you owe or what bill collectors call on you or what creditors send you letter after letter and all this. It's not about the letter. It's not about the bill. It's about what is happening inside of you when it comes. Does it depress you? Does it discourage you? Does it slow you down? Does it make you inactive and inefficient? Does it make you not want to get up and go to church? Does it make you not want to pay your tithe? Does it make you not want to show up to whatever event you volunteered to be a part of? How is it affecting you? Because it's not necessarily about the attraction or the assassin. It's about how you're reacting to it. That's what the devil wants. He just wants to mess with you. And he'll just throw whatever. He is not creative and clever. He's a copycat. He knows what got you before. He's going to throw it at you again. It's like, get a job, devil. I'm over that. But he's going to keep trying. So, what do we need to do to get on the solution side? Well, let's jump to that. Number three is you have to believe in dream decisions. You have to believe in dream decisions. Say decisions. This consists of three steps. The first one is God's strategy combined with a good strategy. God's strategy always equals a good strategy. Job chapter 12, verse 13 says, to God belong wisdom and power. Counsel and understanding are his. God has a great strategy for life if you can line up with it. And if you can line up with his strategy, it's all good. The second thing is God's timing equals good timing. And God's timing combined with good timing is a great result. You see, Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, you see, at just the right time, say time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, I don't know about you, but I'll tell you about my life, and I'll tell you, when God came into my life and encountered my life in a real way, it was just in time. It was just in time. And I know I'm not any different than some of you. You know, I know some of you, and I really do know some of you. And if God hadn't showed up when he did in your life, what would have happened with you? He showed up just in time. He stepped into your world just in time. God's timing is perfect. He is never late. He's never late, people. He'll show up in a hospital room. He'll show up in a car. He'll show up at a lunch table. He'll show up in your classroom. He'll show up in a family reunion. He'll show up in your cubicle at work. He doesn't care. God will step up into your world, and when he steps into your world, things change. God's strategy, God's timing. The third one is God's persistence combined with my perseverance. God's consistency combined with my perseverance. Do you know that God is very intentional at what he does? Have you ever been, you know, a situation with your journey and you're like, God, could you just leave me alone for 5 minutes? I'm trying to get it together, but could you cut a brother a break? You know, God is like a woodpecker sometimes. Some of you, he's like this. Some of you, he's like this. Because you're real hard-headed, if you're like me. But he's persistent. Bam. Bam. Pay your tithe. Bam. Volunteer for usher. Bam. Go over there and volunteer for the children. Bam. Bam. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. And he's just like, okay, I get it, Lord. I got it. I'm going to the ministry fair. Leave me alone already. Why? Because he's got a dream for you. He knows where he's trying to take you. He knows where he's trying to get you to. No one can take away your dreams. No one can take away your dreams. Now, in closing, my last point is point number four. And I have to tell you that when I have the privilege of being with you and speaking, I usually do some, you know, fun stuff and like tonight a little bit and, you know, videos and different things. And I really work hard to be an effective communicator, not just a preacher. I want to communicate something significant. But sometimes there are things that you just have to preach. Some things that are just, you just got to preach. You just got to let it go. You just got to bring it with passion. Can I do that tonight? Can I bring something right to your front door and tell you the key to getting into God's destiny? Can you go there with me? I want to tell you that God has something very important about tonight that he wants to make very clear to you. And that's point number four. It's very simply this, that you have to believe in dream provisions. Say provisions. I want to tell you tonight that when God gives a vision, he gives provision. When God brings a vision, he always brings provision. And I want to talk to you about this word provision. Can we go to Bible school for just a minute? Can I break something down for you? Can I tell you where the word provision came from? Not from Webster. Webster's definition is very simple. It says the providing or supplying of something. That's like what you write down when you don't know the answer to a test. You know what I'm saying? The act of providing. Some of you are laughing because you do that all the time. An arrangement. I want to tell you what this book says about provision, because this is where it all came from anyways. I want to give you a couple of Greek words, and I want you to listen to this. The word pro. The Greek word for pro is pronoia. It means forethought, in favor of, preposition. And an argument or consideration in favor of, pronoia. Say pronoia. The second part is the word vision. And the Greek word for vision is horama, that which is seen. Something that is or has been seen. A vivid mental vision. If we take these two together and we take pronoia and horama, provision. Provision is defined as forethought for that which is seen. Forethought for that which is seen. Provision. Pro, forethought. Vision, that which is seen. Pro, an argument in favor of. Vision, a vivid mental picture. This is where it hits. The vision that God has given you, it means that God has provision. It means he's already thought it out. Forethought. And the vision means it's that which is seen. He's already seen it. He's already seen it. So there's provision for your vision. You know what this means? When you're walking through life and you're going through journeys and you're spending time in the pit and you're getting distracted by the assassins and the distractions and the emotions and the things that are going on in your world and there's people and there's haters and there's stuff going on and you stepped out into faith and you're trying to move into your destiny and you're trying to pursue the dream that God put in your heart and you've just showed up to church and you've paid your tithe and you've done your part and you've submitted to God's calling in your life and you've pursued it and you're pushing and then there's people that are going, oh, you don't have the money. Oh, you don't have the resource. You haven't been trained. You don't know what you're doing. They don't need you over there. Somebody else will do it. It's a big church. It's a church of 10,000. Don't worry about it. Miles has got people. Don't worry about going over there. You don't need to go this. The people are coming up in your business and there's distraction. There's pain. There's stuff from your past. And you go, stop. Devil, get up out of my face, because God has a forethought for the vision that God has given me. God has already seen and placed the things into place that are going to help me fulfill my past. And listen to me, you better get behind me, devil, because you better watch out. I'm going to be one bad mamma jamma when I step into my destiny. And I'm going to do things for God that he's never seen. Provision. Some of you don't have this yet. Some of you, you've had certain circumstances and situations in your life, and you thought it was over. But somehow, a friend happened to be there to pull you out. You had a situation in your life, and you were broke as a joke, and you had no hope. And you had to pay bills, and you had to do this and do that. And a card came from a family member, and it was the exact dollar amount that you needed. Or a friend called you up, and they gave you a 20 spot, and you didn't even know it was coming. And it was exactly what you needed. Or maybe you've been praying, God, I just want you to use me. I just want you to use me. And you run into one of the pastors, one of the staff members, and they say, hey, we've been looking for somebody that can do this. And you go, well, that's what I do. Well, then why don't you come over here? Well, I think I will. You think that was an accident. That was God's provision for your vision. Forethought, planning, going even far enough to say that it's an argument in favor of. God will fight for you. He will fight for you. If you will just be willing to hold on to the dream. Don't let go. Fulfill his destiny. It's quiet in here. There's some things that define God's provision, and I got to finish. There's three things that define God's provision. Number one is circumstances. Say circumstances. This means that God will put you in a place that will take you to the place. God will put you in a place that will take you to the place. The second thing is finances. You're going to talk about money. Let me tell you something. If you have a dream and a vision in your heart that God has placed in you, and he's telling you to go after it, and he's telling you to do it, he's telling you to give it all you've got, and it's going to cost a financial commitment. You know it's going to take financial resources to launch this dream, maybe start your own ministry or start a company or whatever it might be. I dare you to sow the first seed. I dare you to be the first person to write a check towards that. Because after that, God will just be blessing it, blessing it, blessing it, blessing it, blessing it. Some of y'all trip out. You come into church and you know your rent's due, so you don't pay your tithe because you got to pay rent. How about you pay your tithe and let God pay your rent? I'll tell you a true story very quickly. It's about myself. Several years ago, I was at a place and I was down and out going through it. I was broke as a joke, had no hope. And I was $50 short on my rent. I knew that. I knew that on Sunday. I had a $10 bill in my pocket. So technically, I was $40 short, but I had that $10 in my pocket. And I came to church. And I was sitting in the church just like you. And God said, give that $10 an offering. I said, Lord, can a brother just get some in and out before I'm totally broke? I mean, come on, it's 10 bucks, you know? No lie. God said to me, give that 10 bucks and you see what I do. Well, when God talks to you like that, it's like E.F. Hutton. You better listen. So I put the 10 bucks in there. Now, this is not a prosperity message. This is a provision message. Remember that. Don't get it confused. So I put that 10 bucks in there. Went through the whole week. Just basically, you know how you have them times when you eat everything in the fridge? You don't care what it is. You'll be drinking ketchup just to get full. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You've been there. I'll just have some bread and butter. It don't matter. I'll heat it up and let the butter melt. It'll be toasted. It was good. You imagine it like you're at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse or something. Broke. Thursday came, and I knew that when I got paid, I was going to be $50 short of rent. Rent was due the next day. Came home for work that day, did my usual routine, went, worked out, ran, because that was free, and did that thing, walked to the mailbox, and I didn't get a lot of mail at this time in my life. It's just the way that things were going. And there was a card from an aunt that lives in Texas that I hadn't talked to in a year and a half. And I opened up this card, and I start reading it, and it says, hey, David, I just want you to know you're a man of destiny. I'm proud of you. And I don't know what this means, but God told me to send you $50. Whoo! Now, I don't know about you, but that was the best $50 this brother has ever seen. But check this out. It gets better. My paycheck came that next day. So I'm just tripping. I'm like, I got rent. After that, I don't have much, but I got rent. My paycheck comes. Don't you know that my paycheck had an hour of overtime on it that I didn't know that I had, and God gave me $20 more on my check. I gave a 10 spot. I was so happy for that $20, you don't even know. Gas. Half a tank in San Diego. God will do that. But you gotta, he shows his provision through finances. The third thing he shows it through is his word. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4 says, for everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God in prayer. Consecrated is set apart, made holy, devoted. So there's two promises about provision that we got to get through real quickly. Two promises about provision that God gives. And I tell you, God is a God of promises. The first one is God makes provision out of the pit. God makes provision out of the pit. Now, you remember the story of Joseph, and he got thrown in the pit. And you remember Reuben was the guy who said, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in the pit, and then I'll go back and get him. You remember that? Say, yeah. Okay, listen to this. This is God is a trip. The reason that Reuben wanted to be the one to get Joseph out of the pit is because Reuben was the firstborn, and he knew that if he rescued Joseph, his father's son, obviously, if he rescued and took him back, he would be the hero. His motives were not pure. He was just as scandalous as Hoochie Mama up in the palace. But God was having none of that. Do you notice in the scripture, who's the person that pulled Joseph up out of the pit? Judah. It says that Judah pulled Joseph up out of the pit and sold him into slavery, and Reuben got mad. Now see, everybody wants to hate on Judah because like, well, Reuben was going to take him back home. And Judah sold him into slavery. Check this out. If Judah hadn't pulled Joseph out of the pit, and then out of the pit, he hadn't been sold to the Midianites for slavery, and the Midianites hadn't sold him to Potiphar's house in Egypt, and he didn't serve as a slave in Egypt and then interpret dreams, and then, you know, he got lied on and cheated on, and then he got thrown into jail. And if he hadn't got thrown into jail, he wouldn't have been interpreting dreams for the leaders of the land. And if he hadn't been interpreting the dreams of the land, he never would have got up in the presence of Potiphar and interpreted his dreams. And if he hadn't interpreted his dreams, he never would have ruled the land. You see, Judah, by putting Joseph into slavery, was fulfilling God's plan. Are you saying that God would do something to us that is difficult and that is painful and that makes things hard? You better believe your bottom dollar. Everybody don't want to say that. No, oh, God's a God of love. He's not a God of joy. Why would he do that? He doesn't hate. He loves. But when your child misbehaves, you spank them. Don't tell CPS, but you spank them. And anybody touch the stove and you smack their hand, you chastise them. Why? Because you love them. Because you know if you teach them that, it'll help them avoid something in the future. Why is it that when God does that to us, we get mad at him and we don't want to serve him? Reuben and Judah. God flipped the script on Reuben. Woo! And check this out. And I can't go into it. If you go to chapter 49 later tonight, not now, please, you will see that Judah received the rights of the firstborn and his entire lineage was blessed. Oh, that's God. The last promise that God gives is provision into the place. As the worship band comes and we close, I want to tell you about this last piece. God will bring provision into the place. You see, when God shows up, location, situation, occupation, whatever shun that you want to put in there, it doesn't matter. When God shows up, things change. It's different. God makes provision into the place. Joseph had no idea when he was locked up in that jail cell thinking, what in the world is going on in my life? He had no idea that when he began to interpret dreams, where it was going to take him. You see, God will show up in your situation. He'll show up when you're strung out. He'll show up when you're passed out, you're drunk. He'll show up when you've lost everything. He'll show up when you're sick. He'll show up wherever you are. God will show up in that place and he'll make provision out. That's the way he is. You see, your dreams, the dreams that God has placed within you, hold the key to unlock your future. They'll take you there. They'll take you there. Stepping you into destiny. Moving you into God's promises. And in chapter 42, verse 6 is the best part, as we read it before. Now, Joseph was the governor of the land, the one who sold grain to all the people. And so when Joseph's brothers arrived, Joseph sitting up in the throne room, been in the pit, been in slavery, sold into some more slavery, got lied about, got cheated on, got talked behind his back, thrown into jail. The same guy, his brothers walk in years later and they bow down, and the scripture says they place their faces to the ground. You know how low you got to get to put your face on the ground? Wow. Dreams. Destiny. If you hold on to your dreams, God will take you to that place. God will help you fulfill. You'll be out there directing traffic for the Rock. You'll be like, 15, give me 15 rows of traffic. I'll tell y'all where to park. Stop. Go. Yeah, you stop. You go. You'll be the baddest man, Gemma, puppet master over there in the children's church. Pop, 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 pop. And puppets will be in Spanish and everything else. You'll just be doing your thing. You'll be over there. You'll be with the youth groups. You'll be meeting with the junior hires and the senior hires. And you'll be helping kids. You'll be on the campuses going up to the principals. Do you know Jesus, brother? You'll be up there doing assemblies and ministering to kids on campuses. You'll be going to foreign countries and you'll be standing in places and you're going, how did I get here? I'm in Tibet. Because you pursued your dreams. And you watched for assassins and you watched for attractions and you believed. You believed in decisions that God was bringing your way. And you believed in the provision that he has for you. That's what he got for you. Do you want it? Do you want that? Do you hunger for God's destiny in your life? That's what this is about. That's what this new building is about. It's about destiny. It's about God's kingdom. That's what our pastor's been coming at us with for the last 5 weeks. Fill out the gifts test. Fill out the gifts test. Well, I don't really want to. It's going to take time, and I got to answer all these stupid questions, and I got to do this and this and that. Well, you need some help. God's trying to tell you where to go. Just listen. Maybe you're here tonight and you're one of those people, man, that's, you've been lied to. Haters, people dogging you out. You're in the pit, but God wants to take you to the place. You might be broke. God's going to take you to the bank. You might be sad. God's going to make you glad. You might be mad and God's going to make you glad. Whatever it is, he's going to take you there. All you got to do is step out. I like everybody to bow your head and close your eyes and stand to your feet very quietly. No moving. Don't move. As your eyes are closed, I want you to listen to just a couple of things. You see, Thomas Edison made 900 light bulbs before he made the one that worked. Henry Ford filed bankruptcy 5 times before the Ford Motor Company was a true success. The man that founded Macy's, the department store, he actually founded that department store after he got out of prison being arrested for tax evasion. The Wright brothers crashed a whole lot more airplanes than they ever flew. Michael Jordan was cut from the junior varsity basketball team. Sean Puffy, P. Diddy, Diddy, P., whatever his name is now. He was a special education student all growing up. Now he's worth over $300 million. Lance Armstrong was struck with cancer not once, not twice, but 3 times before he won the Tour de France 7 times. And Jesus Christ was lied on, spit on, beat on, punched on, and they even killed him. But 3 days later, he rose from the dead and said, now what? What else are you going to bring my way? I just took it all. Come on, baby. You can't take me. I'm Jesus Christ. That same Jesus Christ is into you and your world. And he's into you and your dreams and your destiny. And maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, I had parents that told me I wouldn't do it. I had teachers that told me I wasn't smart enough. I had bosses that told me that I'd never keep a good job. I had other leaders in my life that said, forget about it. I had friends that left me, people that dogged me, relationships that crushed me. And it's affected my dreams, but I'm here tonight and I want to make something of my dreams and my destiny. I'm going to hold on to my destiny. I want to move into God's destiny for my life. If that's you, step out of your seat and come to the altar right now, because I'm going to pray for you. Step out right now. Don't wait. Unless you're walking, eyes closed, heads bowed, just come to the altar. We're going to pray for you tonight. Don't let the devil rob you of your dreams. Don't let him kill him. Don't let him steal you from what God has intended for you. Come as close as you can to the front, because there's people back down the aisles. Come on, don't hesitate. Don't wait. Don't wait. Some of you got up this morning and you said, man, I don't even feel like going to church tonight. I got the Super Bowl. I could just chill and stay home. And they're not going to have that 5:15 service. And I'm just not going to go. And you made a deal with God. And you said, you know what, God? I'll go tonight. But I'm going to go. I'm only going to go if you'll speak something into my life. That's you. You better get down here, because he's talking to you about your world. And he's here to say, I want your dreams to be fulfilled. I got destiny for you. Just step out and trust me. I'll make provision for the vision. Tonight, and everyone in this room, and you're all about dreaming for God's destiny, I want us to pray a prayer together tonight. Those of you that are up front, we're going to pray this prayer together out loud with passion. Say, God. Say, God. I want your destiny. Help me fulfill your dreams for my life. Help me ignore the haters. Ignore the attractions. Watch out for the assassins. Help me to step out in faith and do what you've called me to do. Do what you've asked me to do. Lord, give me what you said I could have. Lord, take me where you want me to be. Just use me, God. I'm not turning back. I'm dreaming for destiny tonight. Lord, I pray for these people that are here right now, and I pray right now a supernatural spirit of completion and restoration and encouragement and destiny, life-changing moments with you right now. I pray in God's name, in Jesus' name, that this moment would not be an experience, it will be an encounter that changes them forever. That this will be sacred. This will be a line in the sand. Devil, we serve in you notice tonight. These are world changers here right now. These are destiny fulfillers right now. These are people that you can't have. They're children of God. I pray your protection over them, Lord. Kill doubt. Kill fear. Kill hopelessness. Kill insecurity. Kill bitterness. Kill inadequacy. Kill failure. And bring life. Life. Say life. Life. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this guy named Joseph. He was a knucklehead just like us that you saved, and you took him to a place. And we learned from that tonight. If you believe that, give the Lord a praise offering right now. I said, if you believe that, if you believe that, give the Lord a praise offering right now. Somebody say hallelujah. Now, those of you that are here, this is a little different than the way we normally do it. But I want to encourage you. We have people that would like to pray with you, to encourage you. You might be saved. It's all good. You need prayer. You need people to lift up your arms, help you, encourage you. I want to encourage you to take time and follow our altar call workers. Go right down this, where are we at? Right there. There they are. We're going to go right down that side. I'd like everybody over there to just hold tight for a minute. So with these people, if you want prayer, you can go that way. But I want to tell you something. God guarantees you success when you follow his process. Do that and go do your thing for God. Do what you do, baby, and you do it well. And don't stop. Don't stop. Miles will be back next week. Have a blessed week. See you.